Hello and welcome to F Off Everton podcast with myself, Bill Cummings, and today I am joined by Stephen Birch.
Hello there, Bill. You okay?
Not too bad, mate. Yourself?
Well, you know, getting by, getting
Well,
by.
you know, not too bad.
We'll
But
get into that, won't we?
yeah, we'll get into that. I mean, today, obviously, you'll hear in the podcast, and we've got a different guest on, Stephen, who I've known quite a while because he also writes my website, or he has, and he writes for his own web zine as well. But he's also an Evertonian.
For my
Tell us a bit
sins.
about your fan experience before we get into the darkness.
My fan experience of the last few days or of the last 40
No,
odd
just
years.
when you started supporting the club and stuff like that. Yeah.
I started going in the 80s. I'm in my mid 40s. So I started going in the 80s as a kid. First game at Goodison, Charlton Athletic at home, 2-1 win. Only time I've ever seen an Everton title winning side. So there you
Wow.
go.
Got more than me.
But then the 90s, me and my dad stopped. When I was getting to being a teenager, we got season tickets in the Lower Gladys. So we were going for a long time in the Lower Gladys. And then circumstances changed and we couldn't afford to go and various other things happened. So not been going as much in the last few years, really, but still follow it. Got to one match last year at the Hill Dickinson. So that was nice to go, even though we lost it to Bournemouth. But still, there you go.
Yeah, it's nice to go, isn't it? I'm hoping to go this season as well. I haven't been to, I've been to the ground, but I haven't been to a match yet. But I'm looking forward to it. I went the last time I was, like when I went to Focus Wells 2 years ago. I went for a Goodison tour before.
Brilliant.
Before we
Yeah, I
left.
managed to do that at the end of the last season.
Yeah,
I'd been on it before when I was a kid, but
yeah,
I hadn't been for
that's
years.
when I did it as well. The last season,
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Bill.
I couldn't get a ticket for a match, you know, that last
Yeah.
season. So,
Yeah, likewise, yeah. Gold Dust, weren't they?
yeah, that's right. So, Nathan, who are O'Hagan, who you usually do the podcast with, he's got a book out at the moment about Colin Harvey. So he's
Brilliant.
on different duties. So I've taken the hosting role, and I've asked Stephen to come on because we could not talk about this deadline day. Well, this week.
Well, thank
Just
you, because this is going to replace the therapy that we
you
all
need
need to
for
get
the
through after this last week. But there you go.
PTSD. Yeah,
Yes, exactly.
I was trying to spell that out. So I suppose we have to rewind a week, really, don't we, to
To the
last
halcyon days of last week.
Saturday. And then, you know, I suppose just touching on the window so far up to that point. I mean, okay, we brought in Hackney. That was a good signing, I thought.
I think so,
Decent in the Championship. One of the best players of the Championship last season. Good little signing, that. George and Roll, we made permanent.
George and Roll, yeah.
Decent signings again, good signings. I think
Yeah, I
George
think so.
especially has got a lot of potential, and Roll can
Definitely.
fit in a lot of places. He's a very cultured footballer, works hard.
Yeah. Fit in any role, you might say.
Yeah, Norgard, I mean, we haven't seen him yet. He's been injured, but he sort of adds that experience and steel to the midfield without Garner now.
Yeah,
Makes
hopefully.
sense again. A bit on the old side for a footballer, 32, but you
Yeah,
need
but
experience, you know.
good leadership qualities as well. But from a Brentford captain, you know, our Arsenal, we got him from, and Arteta spoke very highly of him, but just
Yeah,
couldn't
so
make
up
him the
to
team.
that
So,
point, I mean, that's not a bad little window, really. But I
exactly,
suppose the elephant in the room from a lot of fans before Saturday was the right back situation and just going through so many right backs and just not securing anyone. And I just, you know, I suppose that may have been the big first red flag in a way, because it's about the recruitment, because and
I
how it
mean,
may be not aligned, you know.
when you hear the noises coming from, I think, Kinnear and a couple of other people around the club, you know, earlier in the summer, there were suggestions that was a priority position. And
Exactly.
well, we'll get on to how we ended that, but, you know, it doesn't seem like it was a priority come the end of the window. But
Yeah, I'm sounding too happy here. I think it's because I'm in sort of delirious, really, after this week.
Yeah, well, sometimes you've just gotta laugh to get through these things, mate. And that's
Absurdity,
the absurdity of all, yeah.
It's that Everton that thing, isn't it, in a way? But it's a bit sad, really, that it's still happening in a way.
Yeah.
But I suppose there's always been that contradiction between like what TFG when they came in sort of said they wanted, which was like young progressive players, which we have
Yeah.
bought, you know, last summer as well with Dublin and people like that.
Dibbling as well, yeah.
But then you have David Moyes, who's much more of a, you know, prefers experience. So there's kind of a clash there between the two philosophies in a way.
Perhaps, yeah. Perhaps there is, yeah. Moyes is the quickest in giving young players a chance, shall we say.
No, he's sort of safety first, and I kind of
Yeah.
get it in a way,
Yeah. Yeah.
but in another way, it's like it's a misalignment, isn't it? And
Yeah.
you know, he's been offered like multiple right backs, and you do at some point think, okay, you have your prime target you want, you know, Doué, who looked a
Yeah.
good, you know, the one we all wanted, the 30 million sort of French right back with a good
Yeah.
name and stuff and pedigree, you know, his brother's pretty good as well.
That's not it. Yeah.
Because we couldn't get him, it's like I just felt like we should have pivoted much sooner. Okay, pivoting doesn't mean you get a terrible player. Pivoting
No.
means you go to the like the next on your list and try and
Yeah.
get
Well, I
them.
mean, that's the reality of the transfer window. You don't.
Yeah.
You don't. You know, especially when you're a club in Everton situation. We can't compete with the teams above us in the league in terms of financial outlay. So it's just kind of like, you know, we have to have a list of sorts to kind of work down.
So I just felt there was a point there where we could have got any one of like I don't know Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Munoz, you
Munoz
know,
looked likely. I
it's
don't think
quite a
they wanted.
few, you know.
But then there was the strange comment of or report suggesting that they see him more as a wing back.
Yeah, exactly. There's a point where you wonder if they're just almost making excuses to the point where it's
Yeah.
like, well, who is good enough then?
I think the reality was the money was too high for him, and I don't think we wanted to pay that personally, but there you go.
Yeah, and maybe the
That was.
wages with Wan-Bissaka. See,
Yeah.
it's always complicated now. We know too
Yeah.
much now with football. It's
We do.
it's painful in a way. It's become spreadsheet, you know, sort of city, hasn't it?
Very much so,
But
yeah.
I suppose, you know, then you had Kinnear coming out with a few interviews, which I actually thought
Yes.
the interviews were actually quite good at the time. I haven't aged so well,
No,
not very well
not
at
at all.
all.
Not at all.
We'll get into that, but
Yeah. Yeah.
he did promise at that point that we'd bring a right back in.
Yeah.
So I suppose we have brought a right back in, but the
Yeah.
point is, we still haven't addressed that issue of somebody who's going to sort of take that position on for, you know, a long period or, you know, replace sort of what we've
No.
lost in Coleman and
No.
people like that, you know. Anyway.
Yeah, it's a problem.
It is, and
It
I
is a
suppose
problem.
that's been the sort of nagging thing up until Saturday when
Yes.
people woke up and Mr. Ornstein is one of the sort of most reliable David
Yeah.
Ornstein at The Athletic is one of the most reliable journalists when it comes to transfers these days, and he was reporting that Harrison Armstrong was being sold for 40 million to Forest,
Yes. Yeah.
and yeah. It went down like a lead balloon, as you can imagine. I mean, 40 million
Yeah.
for him. I mean, even though he's only started probably 20 odd games, you could tell he's going to be a class player. And 40
Yeah.
million just seemed sickening. And not to have a go at Forest because they're a good club. We've
It's
got.
not necessarily the money. It's
No. And it's not.
the sign it sends, the signal it sends.
Yeah.
Selling, you know, arguably your best young player, a player who has clearly gone up a level. This year, I mean, okay, we've only played three games, but you know, the signs that he is developing into the player that we hoped he would sell him at this stage of his career, you know, and he's come through the youth system as well, which is never a popular thing at Everton. If you sell a young talented player, no one wants to see them go, you know.
No. Oh, I was devastated, I've got to admit. I mean,
I was actually messaging our mutual Nottingham Forest friend
oh yeah.
at that time, and we were having a lively debate about it. But it was a red flag straight away for me,
Yeah.
with Ndiaye pretty much gone as well at that
Yeah.
point. Something's amiss here. Something's not right.
Most of us expected Ndiaye to go. I mean,
Yeah.
he had stated that he wanted to go. He wanted to play Champions League football. He hadn't signed a contract. He wanted 40 million release clause, which again, ridiculous. But
Yeah.
all of those pointed to the fact that he was going to leave, and there'd already been Saudi interest earlier in the
Yeah.
summer.
Yeah.
So we kind of, as much as you don't want to lose your best players, like you said before, in Everton's position, we do have to sell to buy,
Yeah, of
sadly. The way
course,
the
but
league is, the way the fight, you know, the way the regulations work these days. You look at Villa and
yeah.
Newcastle, same position, really.
Villa, perhaps surprisingly more so. They won a European trophy last year in the Champions League. You do kind of wonder how who these rules are benefiting more than
Oh,
others. And it's
definitely.
pretty clear who they're benefiting more than others, but you know,
There's a free tier league, mate.
you're an Aston Villa fan.
Oh, it's cutting.
You lose Morgan Rodgers, Konsa, Luka Dean.
Yeah.
All for big transfer fees or relatively big transfer fees
Yeah.
compared to where they are in their career. But I mean, it's, you know, these are the core players in your team.
Yeah.
You're
And
starting
that
again, you know, almost starting
just
again.
shows you they've been successful. They finished
Yeah.
in like Champions League and
And
beat in Europe
they won a
and
European trophy last
they've
year.
won things. Yeah,
Yeah.
we've done nothing in that
Yeah.
period. We've been
No. Yeah.
struggling to
Exactly.
survive, you know, until
Yeah.
the last
And
couple of years we've been
again, as you say,
stabilized.
with Newcastle as well, losing, you know,
Yeah.
Gordon, Guimaraes,
Oh no,
big
I
players
totally agree
gone.
with you, mate. I don't agree with these rules. They're terrible. It's like, you know,
It
glass. It's like reinforced glass ceiling, isn't it? It's
is
like, you
very much
know,
so, yeah.
it's just a joke, really. I mean,
Yeah.
yeah, you know, I'm not saying that clubs should be able to just bankrupt themselves, but there should be
No.
some kind of regulation in there. But it's clearly set up to protect a certain kind of club, you know.
Yeah.
Like City and Chelsea wouldn't have been part of that whole group, like 20, no, maybe 20. 5+ years ago, they wouldn't have been part of it, but because they got the money and the regulations were different then, they could gate crash it.
Chelsea's whole history is the last 25 years.
Yeah, pretty
City
much.
had a little bit before that.
Yeah.
Chelsea's whole history
I
is the
suppose
last
Tottenham
25
is the
years.
one you've really argue about. You
Yeah.
know, although even
But
Tottenham have had like Champions League qualification, won a
yeah.
Europa League, blah blah blah. You
Yeah,
know,
and I mean
so
the
who
debate is
knows?
the stadium is making them a
Yeah.
lot of money in outside interests, you know, a lot of concerts over the summer,
Don't get
events,
me wrong, I'm
but
not saying Tottenham aren't a big club, but I would say actually
no.
Villa have actually done more
Yeah,
in a
Villa have
sporting
achieved.
sense in the last
Yeah.
5 years. So,
Without a doubt, without a
you
doubt.
know,
Yeah.
why is that fair then that Villa have to sell their players, but Tottenham don't, even though they've finished 17th? You know, it doesn't make any sense, none of it. Anyway, getting back to Harrison Armstrong, I mean, yeah,
Yeah.
I was absolutely gutted. And like you say, a
Very
short-sighted
much so.
decision that just
Yeah.
lacks ambition, lacks.
Yeah.
You know, thinking of the future and goes against everything they said when they came in. They were talking
And
about,
quite clearly the player was not happy about the decision as well.
yeah, he didn't want to go,
You could
and
tell.
because obviously the decision had been made for him.
Yeah.
The club itself were against the decision, although who's briefing you that you choose to believe? Is it TFG or was it, you know, Kinnear? Was it, you know what I mean? Who do you believe the briefing of? But whatever the
Yeah.
case, it has been pretty well reported that it was pretty much TFG who stepped in, basically probably looked at a spreadsheet and went, well, he's only played 20 games. We could sell him for,
Yeah.
you know, 40 million without
And
understanding
obviously,
any of the emotion or any of the fact that this kid will be worth probably three times that in a few years. The
and
fact that he's.
also it's the whole you know, thing of selling your academy
Yeah, I
players.
was
It's
going to go on to say that.
the pure profit of that, isn't it? So counts a bit, doesn't it? I
It
think
goes
so.
back to when we sold Gordon in a way, you know, we
Yeah.
had to sell him, but that was different because we needed the money to like survive basically.
Yeah.
But and the same with the Rooney situation, you know, in a lot of ways. We were in a position where we had to sell. But this was a sort of position of I feel like the window had been we'd sort of been in a stuck place for quite a while and not able to spend because we hadn't sold anybody.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's when they pressed that button, but without understanding, you know, what Harrison Armstrong means to a lot of Evertonians because of he's an academy player, he could be a future Everton captain. You know, we haven't even seen him barely, and he's starting for us in the team currently as it stands at 19. He's a quality
And
player, you know.
has arguably been our best player in the first three games, arguably sitting there
So it
one all.
just seemed like a real like
Yeah.
shooting yourself in the foot moment, you know.
Yeah.
And also it exposed TFG for a short-sightedness and a lack of ambition, I think.
Yes,
And
I think
also
so.
it sort of go to get go went against their whole, oh, we're going to develop young stars and then sell them on,
Yeah.
or we're going to develop them to become, you know, key cornerstones of the team kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about, model and kind of like ethos is kind of clashing in a way
Absolutely,
before.
yeah. Totally on board with that. You know, it seems to be the case. But you know,
I
I mean, obviously, when you get to the match as well, you know, we get to Bournemouth,
yeah.
two wins before that, and then you know, okay, we didn't win that game, but another day we'd have won that as well. We had our chances to win it,
Yeah, not a
but
bad point, really,
not a bad
considering.
point. Certainly, how late we got the equaliser. You know, that's
Exactly. The whole thing overshadowed the game for
yeah,
me, you
it
know?
did absolutely, and you
I
know, you
was
got the
absolutely
correct.
winded. I don't think I've ever been as winded by
Yeah.
something with Everton, even all the stuff they put us through.
Well, until a few days later,
Yeah,
but
well,
yeah,
it's another
we'll
gut
get to that.
punch.
But
But yeah, I mean, I don't think even Rooney, I wasn't like as. Because it felt like he was going, so
the right the writing was on the wall with that
yeah. I mean,
way
I'm trying to
before, and it
think
was just a matter of
who
time.
really gutted me leaving. Richarlison, I was gutted about, you know,
A little bit,
a little bit, yeah.
a
But
little bit.
again, the thing is, it's different these things
Yeah.
because it's so signposted, isn't
Yeah,
it? Months in
very much
advance.
so.
So, and
I
that's the thing
think.
about the Kinnear interview, in a way. It's like the things he said in there about keeping our best players, number one, signing a right back, number two. And when
Yes.
he talked about right back, he said, for the next few years, okay,
Yeah.
we'll
Oh,
revisit
yes. Call back later on again.
that. And then what else did he say in the interview? You know, oh, money's not a problem. You know, so it was a series of, I don't know if they were lies, because he might have believed all of this stuff at the time, but there's definitely something changed in terms of
Yeah,
we
he may have,
obviously needed a sale to
well,
buy people.
he may have been getting that information from above him, but I'm not sure I trust his word in many ways, but
No,
still.
I actually think, to be honest, that coupled with the happily dissatisfied at the end of the season, after a catastrophic sort of like last few games, and I know he did that like a few games from the end, but I don't think you ever get away with that kind of poor communication as a CEO after that, really,
No.
to be honest.
Absolutely not,
And
no.
then now we get to this window, and yeah, sort of compounded it, really. But
Yeah.
I suppose some of the stuff that's come out today about TFG may be looking for investors,
Yeah.
TFG buying an NHL team, TFG, he might even consider a sale.
Yeah.
You do they that does make more sense then of how we ended the window, which we could get onto now.
Yes. So these are
So,
contextual points we didn't have until today, seemingly.
yeah. The thing is, it's just crushing. In a way, the whole Harrison Armstrong thing was crushing because, you know, up until now, TFG have come in. They haven't been spectacular, but they've been
No.
like solid. They've stabilized
Yeah.
us. We've gone from like that banter sort of like circus shambles that we were
Yeah.
under
Yeah.
Mascheri to like a bit more solid and
Yeah.
sustainable. And
Yeah.
like they did the stadium move pretty well. They've increased revenues. You
Yeah.
know, business-wise, they've been pretty good up until now. But then, now that they're interfering in football matters, you know, it's again back to that whole too many cooks in the kitchen. You know, too many people
Yeah.
interfering, people having to
Absolutely.
sell to satisfy
Yeah.
budgets. Just the whole thing just has a
No.
real déjà vu. Sort of, you were talking about PTSD before. It
Yes,
has a
yeah.
kind of a PTSD for Evertonians because we've been through, well, it's not our first
We've been
rodeo.
there,
We've been through
yeah.
that for years with Ken Wright. And then we went through it for years where literally the club was on its knees under Mascheri. We just thought this time maybe it might be a bit different. Maybe I was naive, you know. I don't know.
Well, you can go back even further to Peter Johnson before Ken, right? I mean,
Yeah.
it's like we just don't have good owners, and really
No.
haven't for a long time. And
I haven't really.
that's not the only thing that makes a football club successful. Obviously, the players on the pitch are responsible for that, and the coaching and the management. But you know, it just when it's so shambolic behind the scenes, it just kind of. So,
It does, it's depressing.
Mascheri overshadowed everything when he was in charge,
It did.
but we're still recovering from that. We're still recovering from that. We have a brand new stadium as a result of his tenureship, which is the best thing he did,
Yeah,
obviously.
yeah.
But we're still financially recovering from that. We're still, you know, we're still in the shadow of that. We're still think of the recent court case with Burnley, which we probably got into on this
Yeah.
podcast before. That to me has to have had effect on this window. Without a doubt, I don't think I
Yeah,
don't know if we've had
probably.
to pay it all in one go, but to me, the reality is that had to have had an effect. It's a large chunk of money,
It's
but
another
yeah, it's
hit,
another
isn't it?
expenditure, yeah.
Yeah, it's another like
So that must have had some impact somewhere along the line.
it's another section of funds that you've got to find
Yeah,
kind of thing.
exactly. You know, that's if I, what was it, 30 million that fine or
40,
that
I think, mate.
40? Okay, well that's one
I
play,
mean,
one
it
piece of
is being
player, isn't it?
disputed, and to be honest, I still think
Yeah,
that's ridiculous because I don't think you can.
I think it's ridiculous as well. But if that's the
They're
case, and we
probably
get.
due some damages, but I don't think it's 40 million myself, and I don't think you can actually plan out the future as the model that how
Yes,
they
it's
worked it out. No other club seems to get hit from all sides like we do, really.
and meanwhile the clock keeps ticking on, you know, 115 charges FC, doesn't it?
Yeah,
But there you go.
and Chelsea like giving backhanders and winning leagues and
I
stuff.
mean, Chelsea just, I don't know what they just, I don't know. They
Yeah,
get
I
away.
won't
They
say what I really
I'm
think.
not
Yeah,
I don't want to be I don't want to be libelous for this podcast, but somehow, you know.
get censored like letters by lawyers and stuff. Chelsea
Yeah,
lawyer,
I don't want that, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know how they've got.
and that's kind of why I cut TFG a lot of slack because they have. They have put, like Nathan said this to me before, because I was getting into conspiracy theories about, did they really want to spend that money on this striker and you know what I mean? And this kind of stuff and going on about, well, do they really have the ambition? Which is a question we can get into. But he was saying, well, you don't put $1 billion into a football club, which is what he talked about in terms of loans and all sorts of things without wanting to do something. So just stabilize us for an extent anyway. So I kind of cut them a lot of slack, and I have
Yeah,
done because
I'm not suggesting that the current owners are anywhere near as bad as some of our previous ones.
no.
Certainly the last regime.
What I think what they're really here for, to be honest,
Yeah.
and they're businessmen, and so I get it, they're really here for to stabilize us and then probably to sell us,
To
and
stabilize, flip it.
fair enough, but unfortunately, in football, if you're not moving forward, then you're going
Yeah.
backwards. And
Yeah.
then it's probably the apt moment to go to like the day before the deadline day when it looked like we were getting Tete, Richarlison,
Grealish.
Grealish,
Yeah.
and there was one more, and Balogun, obviously.
Balogun. Yeah.
So that's four players, and out would go in. And Ndai, Tim Iribunam, Beto.
Beto,
I
Nathan
mean, we didn't
Patterson.
know about all of these, but this is kind of what it
Yeah.
was looking like, wasn't it? And
Yep. Yep.
so you're talking there with Ndai, Beto, and Tim as well, Tim Iribunam. Yeah, you're
Asnil
talking
went
like
on loan as well, didn't he?
Pato went out as well for a
Patterson and
million
As Patterson
quid.
and Asnil on loan, yeah.
Yeah, so you're talking the best part of 100 million going out there,
Yep. Yep.
and
92 and
coming
moving.
into the club.
Yep.
And I think. I was looking at that and I was thinking, if we get all of those, okay, I'm bit gutted and Ndai's leaving, but as we said, it was kind of written on the wall, and we had to make a big sale. I get that. I get the way the finances work,
Yes.
as much as I wasn't happy about it, because he has been like a bright light in the doom of a couple of years, hasn't he, really?
Yeah.
He's been
He's
so
been,
fun to watch.
I mean, he's a fantastic footballer, individually, you know.
Yeah, he
He's
is.
just a kind of throwback to, you know, great dribblers of the past, and he's just got
Yes, he's.
that brilliant balance, and you know, he's not never going to be a world beater, but he's a
No.
fantastic player to watch.
And he's a good finisher as
He's
well.
a good finisher.
We get on to the next day now.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, Richarlison. I mean, I don't know what went on there, but I think it's more at the Tottenham end that he was owed some money and bonuses.
Yeah, he was frustrated.
Yeah, and so he was talking to Everton about a move to us, but he didn't want to be forced into it because
Yeah.
he felt like, and I do wonder if he was actually referencing the first time he got sold at Everton as well, because he
I
was
think.
talking about in the past people have made decisions for me. I'm not saying he didn't want to leave the first time, but I do
Yeah.
feel like obviously we were desperate for the cash at the time,
And
and to be honest, 50 million I felt at the time wasn't enough anyway, but.
he was probably our biggest saleable asset apart from Pickford, and we weren't
He
going to sell
was. We had
Pickford.
to sell him,
So,
basically. So I do feel like he was pushed out the door a little bit.
yeah.
But, it kept the club going. You kind of get it when it's that kind of stark, isn't it? Which stark to the point where we had to sell people. But now we're talking about selling people to raise funds to bring other people in. That's what we're talking about, which is the way most clubs act these days. But I suppose the problem is when you're doing numerous deals on deadline day, things can go wrong, things can go wrong,
And we'll see in the next
Yeah.
installment,
Spoiler alert.
spoiler alert, what could potentially go wrong
Where went
if you put
wrong
all your
next?
eggs in one
So
basket?
yeah, I was thinking Balogun, Richarlison, Okay, and Ndiaye's going, Beto's going, but we got those two coming in. Your Richarlison could play anywhere across the front, Balogun, he looks tasty, he's quite quick, he scored a few goals, stuff. Fast forward to the next day. Okay, Richarlison, as we said, didn't happen, sadly. Which I had mixed feelings about because I think he would have been good for us as a backup, obviously, and as a as a player who could play in different positions. But
I'm
also, he
never,
was going to cost, how much was he going to cost? 35 million?
yeah, I'm never a fan of going backwards who's left several years before. I don't think it ever really works out,
No, so I kind of
to be
got that.
honest.
But I was going, well, as long as we get Balogun, as long as we get Balogun. So we'll go back to that in a bit. But the right back thing, okay, it was originally Tete, who's like Fulham's, what is he, like second right back or possibly?
Who, of course, we tried to sign on a free when he was out of contract last year, and he
Jibbed us off.
pretty much used us
Yeah.
to negotiate a better terms at Fulham.
Not to be bad, but Fulham, come on, come on. Anyway.
You can't really underestimate the appeal of London sometimes, unfortunately, can
Yeah,
you?
for certain players, yeah, especially foreign players. I get it, I get it. It's easier, isn't it, for them? And they probably get a lot of money for playing in London and stuff. I get it, I get it. But then again, I do sometimes think, imagine you go for that, you're playing for Fulham. A nice club, don't get me wrong, lovely club, but they're not huge. And they just like lovely little stadium, no expectations, quite low expectations, finish mid-table, that's quite good, I mean, I know we're that's at the moment, but you go to our stadium and it's like, well,
It's world class, yeah. This
yeah.
is the problem. But then, maybe it hasn't quite been the selling point we wanted it to be
Possibly.
yet,
Because you need to get
if.
everything else right, like you talked about
Yeah,
before,
exactly. You need to get everything else right, but also you need to, again, going back to Fulham being based in London, it's very, very difficult to get, to attract players outside from, some, foreign European players to come, if the option is London or us.
No,
But
you're right. And it goes back to not finishing in Europe as well last
again,
season,
that again, you're not in Europe, then the appeal is even less so, unfortunately.
But the whole Balogun thing, I mean, I did wonder from the start because Monaco are a very strange club. They're in financial problems themselves. And they offered us Balogun. This is how I, kind of read the situation. We were offered Balogun. And so we went for it. And he's a player that has been mentioned with Everton before. We like an American at Everton, Joe Max Moore, Dalander Donovan, going way back,
Tim
Tim
Howard,
Howard. Yep. So we do like an American, and
Ryan
although he was
McBride,
only
another one.
born in America, he wasn't. He grew up in London, actually, again. Anyway, so with the right back situation, going back to, sorry, I'm jumping around a bit, but it's kind of a narrative in my
Fine.
head here. So with the right back situation, in the end, Fulham were trying to buy another right back. They couldn't get that right back, so the upshot was they kept Tete, basically. So we were going to pay 9 million, 10 million for Tete, which I thought was a lot anyway. But for his solid, although apart from his injury record, he is a solid, decent
A
player. But
solid, experienced
yeah,
international fullback in some ways,
like
yeah.
nearly, what is he, 30, 31, something
30,
like that.
31, yeah.
It's
Yeah,
the classic age anyway,
it'd
isn't
have
it,
been
for a
a two or
fullback?
three year deal, probably.
Yeah. So we've ended up with Maitland-Niles, who for 4 million, was he at Lyon, I believe?
He was at Lyon, yeah. Came through the Arsenal Academy when he was a
He's
kid.
not bad, and he
Hate it at all,
I
because I
just
think he's a
think
versatile
when
player.
you've been looking for a right back for 5 years, I think he was about, probably 10th choice. Not to
He
be,
was low down on the list, let's put it that way. I
yeah,
don't
let's
think he
put it
was
kindly like that, yeah.
anywhere near the top,
At
but
least he's a right back. I'll give him that. I'll
well, I
give him
mean,
that.
he's also a versatile.
Don't get me wrong. I think 4 million will be all right.
has also played left back apparently as well, which gives us cover there. I don't know.
It'll be all right. It's just my point is kind of like we went into this window with the number one priority being right back, who could kind of solve that issue.
And we came
And with
away
the
with our
greatest respect to
seventh or eighth
Maitland-Niles,
choice. Yeah.
he is just a squad player. And I think Raul will play ahead of him a lot of times, to be honest.
I think Roll might even start there on Saturday, to be
Yeah, I
honest.
think he will.
I think Maitland-Niles will be on the bench.
Yeah, I think it's Sunday, but yeah. Yeah, so I just suppose it's not so much that we didn't get a body there and we did get a reasonable player there. He's probably like, an average sort of right back, Premier League right back, but it's just the like the when your number one priority is right back and you end up with somebody
Supposedly.
who's like your 10th or 12th choice, then
Yes.
it does speak to like the dysfunction in recruitment, whether that's the recruitment team, whether that's Moyes with his like final say, whether that's the CEO, whether that's the finances, like you said, whether that's
Certainly,
we can't.
there is a disconnect somewhere, if that's the case, you know.
Yeah, because we
And
could have sorted out a right back a couple of months ago if we just wanted a right back. But we obviously wanted Doué. And the problem is that when you hang on so long for a target like that and you're left on the final few days and then you just go in, well, actually, we've got Tete. Oh, no, we haven't got Tete. Just get a right back. Literally, just get a right back. You know
Get
what I
someone.
mean? It's just like that is poor planning, poor recruitment.
What it stinks to me of is obviously Tete not working out, and then you've got agents floating around
Yeah, of course.
offering their client,
Of course, because
going,
that's what
"You need a
happens
right
on
back."
transfer deadline day,
Exactly.
yeah.
So I mean, that's what that stinks to me of is that he may. I'm speculating, but it could well have been that, he was one that was touted to us that quite late, as opposed to necessarily being us being particularly interested in him. It was just he was an option. He was available. He was not a big transfer fee.
Yeah, it's not like strategic planning, is it? It's not like Hayden Hackney, who
Absolutely not,
we've
no.
obviously tracked for, a season or two. Moyes has sort of talked to him and, how he'll fit into our midfield, how he'll be, a future player and he'll grow into the team. You know what I mean? All that kind of good stuff that like other teams like, Bournemouth, Brentford, Brighton do, where they're strategic about their planning, and their like recruitment like goes like clockwork and if they sell somebody, they've got somebody else lined up. And
And they always sell for much more than they buy.
like they sell at, that was another thing about the Armstrong thing. We weren't selling at peak, we were just selling at opportunity, and it's just poor and short-sighted. And yeah, and that's why I'm glad that the fa that's something we didn't mention, it didn't happen in the end because the fans rose up, which was great, which shows that fans still have a voice to an extent. But
So that was don't sell Armstrong. You might have a riot on your hands or something along those lines, wasn't it?
Made of
Which,
like Everton fans. I love Everton fans because they always come up with like a song,
yeah, there's always something, isn't it? Always something, mate.
especially the away fans because they're just
Yeah, they
nuts,
were.
aren't they?
Well, yeah, the
You have to be a
hardcores.
bit nuts though to like go around all around the country and every
Certainly
week.
away to Bournemouth. That's a bit of a track, that one, like. Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, I
Should
suppose
we get into
the disaster.
the main one then, shall we?
Yeah. I mean, it's the one that burnt my head out, really, to be honest. I mean, by all accounts, Balogun was in the building for like Finch Farm from about 1 o'clock doing a medical. He'd flown over from Monaco. And then I don't know what time it was, but I think they said 8 o'clock.
Yes, it seemed to be like sort of
An issue came up with
early
his
evening.
knee. And so then Everton decided to renegotiate, which, in one sense, I kind of get because, like, it's an asset and you're spending 40 million on an asset. So, like, you want to make sure that you're getting, if you've picked something up, you probably want to renegotiate that a bit. You want to
Yeah,
make sure you're
possibly.
getting the best deal of somebody who may not be fit, for the time being, or they may have an issue in the future or anything really. But I suppose from the player's point of view, they may be sitting there thinking, well, do you really want me then if you're renegotiating? That's the one thing.
And what was coming out at the time as well was that And we can go into Monaco as well in a minute because they have the another bit of a disaster that night for them. But they were vehemently denying that he had any form of medical problem, and were very forthright in saying so.
There's been some report in The Athletic. I think Paddy Boylan, he's usually quite good. He was talking about Everton had done some kind of GPS where they seen that his training stats weren't that great as well, you know, and he hadn't played a game since the World Cup. But ultimately, I wonder with these things because, like, why would you fly somebody over? I mean, I get that it happens in football, but you do wonder, you know, surely you'd have checked a lot of these things. Like, for instance, Maitland-Niles. He was coming over from France as well. He did part medical in France. So you wonder, it just all seems a bit like last minute, doesn't it? Dot com, you know? Well, it was really.
Well, I think
And that's the problem, I think. Especially
but
when Beto and Ndiaye had
already
already
gone,
been sold.
already out the building, already left, already
The
signed
cardinal
on.
sin of recruitment is don't sell a striker when you haven't secured one yet.
Especially that late,
Yeah, and when you think about the goals that Ndiaye and Beto have scored for us in the last few years, Beto, God love him, he's not like great round all round player. He's got a touch of a, you know, I don't know, an elephant, but at times. But bless him, he tries. And also he's gone on some streaks where he's scored some quite good
He's
goals.
most of his goals have been over a, a 10, two or three 10 game periods where he's
After
scored quite a
March.
few quickly. Generally towards the end of the season, weirdly, yeah, as you say, but yeah, but I
But
mean,
important goals, especially when we were trying to stay up, you know.
absolutely, and I don't, he'll never be the best striker we had at Everton, but he'll always be popular because of
Yeah.
his work rate,
You
his
try.
aggression.
Anyway, getting back to the horror show. I mean, so we renegotiated. But in that time, what had happened on social media is people had speculated, it got into overdrive on. Oh, Everton are looking at Xerxes in case it doesn't happen. They're looking at Tammy Abraham. I do wonder the way the modern player is now. Do you think he was looking at Twitter?
I have no doubt he would have known about that. It's, even if he wasn't personally, he would have had people there, wouldn't he? So,
I'm not saying that's why it didn't happen, but I don't think it would have helped, would it?
you're sitting there at your potential new club and they're saying you might have an injury issue. And you don't think you do. You think you're ready to go, and then suddenly, an hour or two later, that there's reports coming out that they're looking at signing someone else,
Yeah.
and you're still sitting there, kind of
It's
twiddling your
poor.
thumbs. What are you going to do, really?
It's really
You're going to
poor.
be annoyed. You're going to be annoyed. Of course, you're
Do you
going to
know
be annoyed.
what?
You know,
Somebody
why
else
wouldn't you
said
be
this
annoyed?
today. It's like, do you think he should have even be sat there like that just in Finch Farm? Or what about bringing Grealish? Or what about, like, I don't know. I don't know how football works in that kind of recruitment area.
Yeah,
I know you
exactly. Yeah.
need him. I know you need him there to like sign things. And he'd already done the medical. He'd been there all day, you
Well,
know. He.
even if he wasn't at Finch Farm, he was in the vicinity. He was
Yeah, he was
nearby, wasn't he? He
in the
might have gone away somewhere
complex.
and had some food somewhere. Who knows? But
Yeah.
clearly, he was nearby, and
Yeah, and
clearly,
Grealish was there apparently. Why don't you get
Grealish was
Grealish
there.
in there to like bloody? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying kidnap him.
Grealish with a pint of Guinness next to him or something, wasn't it?
On, Florin. Let's
Come
go
on,
for
a
a pint.
pint. Come on.
Yeah. Sorry, that's not very Birmingham, is it?
No,
Come on, Florin. Birmingham.
you're not going to
Come
be
on,
on Peaky.
Florin.
You're not going to be on Peaky Blinders anytime soon, Bill. I
No,
don't think, to
no.
be honest.
I won't
No.
try it. I won't try it.
No.
But you know, Grealish is a great lad, isn't he? You know,
Yeah. Look, I mean, this is the. It's kind of a high spot amongst a period of shambolic mess. And what that means really primarily is because he's got 1 year on his deal. That is, if he has a decent season with us, he will probably sign with us permanently next season.
Probably, probably.
Depending on the money situation, which we might get into shortly, but
And he brings experience. He's got a winning mentality. I remember when we beat United last year away. He was excellent. Him
He
and
was excellent.
Dewsbury Hall were
Dewsbury
excellent.
Hall,
Yeah.
they won us that
So he's a
game,
good
really.
sign. He is a good signing, as much as it's expensive for just a year. It is expensive, but it's just everything he brings, isn't it? All round. And you could go into the commercial aspect of it as well if you really wanted to, but I
Well,
won't
exactly,
bore you
and
with
he
that.
stays fit as well, and then we've got
He
a.
sells shirts, you know. Let's put
If
it
he
like
stays
that.
fit this season, doesn't have the kind of injury he had last
Yes.
year, he stays fit, gets to
Which is a
sort
big
some.
question, though, isn't it,
Well, it
really?
is, but he gets
Because
if he
once you
can.
get past 30 in football, it's like, you know.
I was just saying that I think, as long as he stays fit, I mean, this is a different butt for half the squad now, but but anyway, yeah. So Balogun, the deal's not done.
Yeah, I mean,
He pulls the plug, or his people pull the plug.
there's slightly more to it than that, but
Yeah.
basically, we signed a deal sheet. We renegotiated in that time, which is pretty impressive, really, because obviously Monaco were probably desperate for the funds. We renegotiated the deal, got everyone signed. Everton signed it, Monaco signed it, Balogun signed it to the extension for an hour, was it, or 2 hours
I think it's
from
around about
11, I
two hours, I
think.
think. Yeah.
Then he just walked away.
So then, yeah. So there's also a bit of context as well in what was happening with Monaco's transfer deadline night themselves, with what was happening with Chelsea and Lamine Kamara, who Chelsea were trying to sign. That collapsed as well on the same night. Prior to, I believe it was prior to the re-agreement, Balogun. So I think what happened is Kamara was due to sign. We saw the potential issue. We renegotiated with them, and then Monaco went back to Chelsea and said we no longer want him to sell him because he was the one they wanted to keep of the two. And Chelsea obviously furious with that, understandably, because Monaco didn't exactly cover themselves in glory there. And Monaco are the ones who've lost out perhaps most, as well as.
I mean, Monaco apparently had to raise 150 million for their finances, and apparently they raised 100 million, and Balogun was going to be the,
Yeah,
more or
sure.
less
Well, it was
round that
one
with
or
his
two,
wages.
one of them two would have been that amount, yeah.
They
So
wanted it to happen.
they wanted to sell one of those two, and they didn't really. Well, what the suggestion is that they could cope with Balogun going because they had other strikers. Kamara was one they wanted to keep, but it backfired anyway on them. They lost money for either of those
There's
players in the
two
end.
things to say about, like being off. Well, there's quite a few things to say. It was absolutely gutting, obviously, because it's like when you get to that deadline day, at that, you either get in the player or you're not. And to be honest, the way it had gone off and on, off and on, I was worried. Until it had been announced, I was worried. Even though Ornstein had come out and said, "Oh, well, they're working on it. It's going to happen now. Deal sheet's in." You're still worried because things can go wrong, especially with
Absolutely.
Everton. We've seen it before many, many times.
And we will see it again, I'm sure.
And we're going to talk about some of the instances we've seen in the past
Yes,
as well.
yes.
But yeah, it's just absolutely gutting because we've sold Beto and Ndiaye, and those goals. Ndiaye, we didn't talk about how good of a finisher he is as well.
Well, we know we don't. We also don't have a penalty taker now. So who's our penalty taker? Who's we got to put on?
And we've left
Dyer's taking
ourselves
a penalty.
so thin up front again. We've left ourselves in a position where before we were thin at right back, now we're thin up front now. We've gone into a window where, okay, if we could improve better, we'd improve better, but we've ended up selling him and not replacing him. It's just an absolute fucking
So
disaster.
where does that leave us in attacking options? Obviously, it leaves us. Brennan Johnson will be, but then we'll play wide right presumably now as well.
Maybe George, maybe Dublin.
George has played centrally, I believe, but
He has, but all of these things are like,
he looks like a winger to me. He looks like a left
again, they're
winger.
like patch-up options, aren't they? I mean, Brennan Johnson has played up front for Wales and Tottenham now and again, but
I believe he played for Tottenham as well.
he is literally like one of those players, like you just like he's fast and he can finish, but he
He's a
can't
good
really
finisher.
hold the ball up. He doesn't
Yeah,
hold
you're
the
not.
ball up.
You have a different game when he's playing, definitely. You have a different way of playing. Yeah.
I suppose in a way it could work because like the last 20 minutes fast,
Yeah,
you'd have to
absolutely.
play
And,
through balls to him. But unfortunately,
away from home on the counter attack, it could be effective. But I mean, at home, you.
unfortunately though, at
Yeah.
home or
Yeah.
no, in big games at
Yeah.
home, we need someone to hold the ball up,
Yeah.
unfortunately.
Yeah.
And love him. Barry's really improved this season. I think he's going to have a really good season.
Yeah. I think
Absolutely. his shoulder issues are behind him. He looks more confident.
Yep.
It always happens when, well, not always, but often a lot of strikers who come in from abroad, it takes them a season to adapt.
Well, absolutely. I mean, he's quite young. I mean, he's French. He's come to the UK for the first time, and he's come to, a city like Liverpool, which is a culture shock perhaps for someone from France to come to at that age. So, it's taken him time to adapt as well. He seems comfortable and confident around the place now. I saw a video today of him laughing and joking at Tyrique George in a six-seater limousine being taken home from training, just taking the piss out of him. So that's quite funny. But he seems happy. He seems happy, and he seems like he's at a stage now where he can go on. He can improve on what he's done last year, and he looked sharp in pre-season. He looked really sharp in pre-season, very impressive. And obviously, he's got his goal against Palace and his hat trick against Preston in the cup. And to be honest, probably should have got at least one at Bournemouth, but didn't go for him that day. But he's looked good. He's looked good. But if we lose him to an injury, the options are limit.
Why
Well,
do we do this to ourselves?
less than limited.
Why do we do this to ourselves? We've got one
I
right
don't.
back,
Oh,
we've got
I don't know.
one left back, and we've got
I don't
one
know.
striker. We're a Premier League football club. I'm sorry, that is just like
We have the worst squad depth of any club in the league as well, by the way, Ian.
if I was on the other night, I'd be raging here, but I've
Yeah.
calmed down a little bit. But I am still upset about it, and I just think it's just negligence, and it's just like sheer poor planning and recruitment. Like we said before, probably. You don't do deals on the last, you don't do this many deals on the last day because things can go wrong in deals. We did
And they
how
frequently
many
do, yeah.
deals going in and out? Like probably 10, probably 8, something like that.
Yeah.
When you're doing that many deals, things can go wrong, unfortunately. And unfortunately, the most important deal was the striker. And to be honest,
Yeah.
even Maitland-Niles, Grealish, and Balogun, I was thinking to
Yeah.
myself, we've actually left ourselves short there too,
Yeah.
really. Okay, you could say Grealish is replacing Ndiaye in a body, you know, in a
In
number.
effect, yeah.
They're not the same player, but they're good players.
But they say play pretty much the same
But
position,
even but
similar
unfortunately,
position.
the Ndiaye is a unique player because he could play up front or, you know, in 10, he could play on the wings, he scores goals,
Well,
he's a threat.
this is what he was given us because he's and he was he's been a quite a an impressive part of the early season. The three games we've played,
He's
he's
looked really
been
sharp,
again one of our better players. So, we're losing. Make no bones about it. We've lost one of our best players,
We've
and
lost our
that's
best player. We've lost our best forward. Even with Balogun, it wasn't going to replace that. And we didn't get Balogun. So
And then
it's just
did you
criminal.
see that Chelsea tried to sneak an offer in for Garner as well, right at the end of the window,
Yeah,
apparently,
well,
according to some reports.
they're parasites, aren't they?
Parasites to the end, yeah.
Parasites. 65 million, that's nothing in a market where Elliot Anderson is going for 112 million, I'm afraid.
No,
You
it's not,
know,
no. They wouldn't have
I
even
wouldn't
had.
have even talked to them,
No.
especially that late in the window.
No,
I
I
think
mean,
they were just desperate as well. But I don't feel sorry for Chelsea because they've got 27 players. We've got 18 players.
and they've sold a lot of theirs. It's made a lot of money, but
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll
I mean,
get
they had
through.
to.
And we've got
They
a
had
manager
to.
like Moyes who's used to doing it all. It's just so frustrating because got some good players in that squad, and you just feel like a couple of quality additions, and we would have been challenging for Europe. Now it just feels like we're just going to be
Does it
down back
does?
where we were.
I mean, a 2 or 3 weeks ago, that we, there was a couple of Moyes interviews where he seemed grumpy and grouchy. I mean, he's very never far away from that anyway, is he? But he seemed particularly kind of grouchy about incomings,
I think
and
he'd been told
oh,
you have
clearly
to
he'd been told.
sell
But
before you buy.
yeah, and he was, you could see the frustration.
The first time he was at Everton under Ken Wright, he had to do that. He had to cut his cloth. You know, there was one famous year we talked about Rooney before. We sold Rooney, we brought in Cahill, Marcus Bent, and we finished fourth.
And we
That
qualified for the
was
well,
crazy.
we got fourth place, yeah. That was
That
a
was mad. I went
was a
to a couple of
bagger.
games that season as well. It was mad.
I went a few that year. That was a good season, but
Yeah, what year
obviously
was that? 20, 2004, 5 was it?
2004, yeah. Oh, to have a player like Tim Cahill right now,
Yeah, unfortunately now though,
adored.
football is different. It is 16 players, isn't it? Because you've got to bring
And
all your
even
subs on,
more so in Europe as well. So if you're in Europe, you
We
need
just haven't got the
another seven or
depth.
eight. So it's kind of almost a blessing that we didn't get into Europe this year, in some
In a
ways.
way, but then we probably would have been sorted out for a right back. We would have got a striker. You know what I mean? Because
Maybe,
we were in
but
Europe. I mean, look at Sunderland. They got Fofana, who we were after last summer. It just shows you Europe could make a difference,
It can make a difference, certainly, but
But
I don't.
unfortunately, I suppose the reason we've ended up in this position is just being badly run again, or being misaligned and too many cooks and too many people having an opinion and too many people involved. And obviously now it's come out today that TFG were looking for investment. So that kind of says to me that actually, because I couldn't get my head around it after it happened. I was just like, well, you brought in 100 million. Why haven't you spent, I get the whole Balogun thing, but I suppose that comes from not having trust in who's running the club now and and the CEO and the recruitment team and, God love him, David Moyes in a way, recruitment. I mean, I don't blame him because I think he'll do a good job and, but he is part of the whole thing, isn't he? He could have agreed to a decent right back or, but then I suppose what's come out today shows that it's much larger that I don't actually think TFG want to push us on because I think they've realized that it's going to take a lot of money. And I just don't think they're in it for the long haul. So,
No, I think they're done.
yeah, I think
I
they're
mean,
done.
without
No, I think you're right, mate.
obviously
I
knowing,
think
but
you're
I
right.
think the signals coming from them suggest that they are going to cut the losses and run. Well, they're going to make money on it,
They're
but
going to flip us,
they're going to flip
or
us in effect,
they're going to do what Liverpool have done, which is like accept investment, and that investment eventually will take over the club.
take over the club. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah,
Which, to be honest,
yeah.
I'll take that if it's somebody who actually, okay, in this era, you can't, I don't expect someone to come in and like say, oh, we're going to win the league or whatever. I just want someone who wants to like push us forward, who wants to progress the club and
And
has an
what?
idea that they can follow through. I feel like TFG's idea has been to be like Brighton, Bournemouth, Brentford, etc. But they've actually hired a manager who doesn't work to that idea because he doesn't. Okay, there
Perhaps,
are
yeah.
some young players he develops, but he's not high on his priority list, is
He's
it? It's
not. He's not
results.
a. He's not a young progressive manager. He's a. He's
He's
a
a.
a pragmatic older
Yeah.
manager who's done achieve things, but with those parameters,
Yeah,
it
he's a
doesn't
good
work with the
manager, but
framework.
not for that kind of project. So it's a clash, isn't it, from the start? And
There
then
is a
when you
clash
set up a
of culture,
recruitment
maybe.
team where basically he gets the final say. So they've been trying to find players like because I often see people going, "Oh, well, no, our recruitment team only has like a doesn't have a like a passport or whatever." And I get that, and that probably has been a criticism of Everton for years, like only mainly recruiting from the British Isles or the Premier League or the top leagues or
Or
whatever,
Europe, yeah.
or like the rejects from the big clubs or whatever your criticism of them is. It's valid.
And they're all valid, yeah,
Yeah,
exactly. They're valid
but I
criticism.
would say that I think this recruitment team have offered him probably, I counted it, 16 right backs. And because they don't fit his criteria, and he's right to want the best player, don't get me wrong. But there is a point where you do have to go, well, actually, I need a right back. I'm going to have to decide. They've given me four right backs. I've got to decide on that right back. And if it's the one keeps turning us down, I've got to decide on the second choice. Do you see my point there?
But
They've.
I honestly think, and he's obviously ended up at Nottingham Forest, but I honestly think Muniz was a valid option
Yeah,
at one point.
I do. I think you're just finding reasons then. Okay, he has played wing back for Palace, but that's just because he's been stuck at wing back. He's still a good right back,
Well, he plays right back for the Colombian national team,
I think he's a good player. I think he's a really good player.
And the way Palace have played under Glasner is they played with wing backs and
And
that.
what was I was frustrated before the Harrison Armstrong thing was, what I don't get about him is that he'll compromise in other positions, but why right back? Why is it right back that he's got
It's
this thing about him?
seems bizarre, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like he wants to play Jacob Bryan there, and
Jacob
then Jacob
Bryan.
Bryan says, I don't want to play there. And then he's pissed off with Jacob Bryan because he's a centre back. He wants to play centre back. But yeah, and then he's got
Who's
this idea of, oh, it's got to be a tall player. It's like, well, does it have to be a tall player? Danny
Yeah, it's weird.
Alves wasn't tall.
Yeah, it's very odd,
Great
really odd.
right backs who aren't as tall. It's not just
Yeah.
about that size. I get the Premier League is physicality, but why right back? It burns my head out that it's like right
I
back is
think he
this
likes
Hilial
to have
Dion.
I think he likes to have because of the re-emergence of, set pieces being key
Yeah.
in the
The
game, which has
height.
kind of been a big factor in the last year or two in particular in the Premier League. I think that's
Yeah.
had a, maybe had an impact on that. Yeah, but you need an attacking output from your
You
fullbacks.
do.
Simple as
And
that.
Mikalenko, I mean, this is what doesn't make, I mean, we're going on longer here, but this is what I can't understand is that Mikalenko is just an average Premier League left back. And he's okay with him. So why? Do you know what I mean? Why is this such a like? It's almost like this right back that he's thinking of doesn't even exist, you know? And I think maybe it's a control thing, isn't it? But it's like at some point you have to get somebody. A Premier League club without a right back is just mad, you know? Anyway, we've gone
It's
off on a
crazy.
tangent there, but
We have.
yeah. So essentially, we're left with 18 players. So like, it's going to be a tough like, to January,
Well, look, I
but.
mean, I'm gonna pivot to the minor plus points.
Positives. Okay, give me some positives.
Well, I
This is
don't know
like
if they're po
therapy for me,
I
though.
don't know if they're positives,
Yeah.
but I'm trying to spin some positivity because these last few years as an Everton fan have been very, very tough, as we all
I
know.
know.
And that reminded us of it the other night. That reminded us that we're not out of that, we're not
Yeah.
out of that, we're
I
not
think
out of
that's what
that.
gutted me most. This is like, I thought we were out of that kind of chaos,
I think that's it.
and
I
we're
think
not.
we felt that we're not. But let's have a look at the positives of this season so far. Okay, from
Okay.
this window, we've kept Harrison Armstrong, right? We've talked about
Yeah.
Harrison Armstrong. We thought we were going to lose him at one point. It looked like we were going to lose him at one point. The fans intervened in a lot of ways. He started the season really well. He's starting to look like the player we thought he could turn into. That we've heard him talked about for several years at the club, not just the last year, but the last 2 or 3 years we've heard him as being, our best academy prospect. And he's showing signs to me now that he is very much a Premier League footballer. And losing him at this stage would have been, as we've already mentioned, would have been a bad thing for him, for his development. I think he wanted to stay at the club anyway. But for the fan base as well, that would have been it was a red flag anyway that we accepted
Yeah.
that business. But if we'd have sold him, if we'd have gone ahead and sold him without that, then there would have been,
Yeah, especially with the whole thing, the owner stepping in. Because one thing that we said about TFG was they don't interfere in terms of they appoint a CEO and they let them get on with
they let
football
him get on with it.
because they're American, not to be generalized about Americans, but they're American businessmen. They know more about like American sports and things like
Yeah, they're
that.
not. I mean, they're interested, but they're not because it's
Yeah,
that
but you
they
know.
own Roma as well. But I mean, that they have to have their, they have to know what they're talking about. But they're not gonna irons in the fire. So
Yeah, they've
they're,
got
you know,
various
they,
businesses. They're
yeah,
multimillionaires with,
yeah, exactly. So
billionaires with
they're not gonna be on
portfolios.
every single decision.
No, they
They
can't
have a,
micromanage all of it. But
exactly. They
the
have
fact
a,
that they stepped in did have
yeah,
very worrying, like sort of Mashiri
yeah,
callbacks for
yeah,
me.
yeah,
Where he stepped in multiple times and sort of sold players or got
yeah.
involved or whatever it was he was doing,
But
meddling.
so we've kept him, and the other positives, look, we talked about Jack Grealish. Jack Grealish is a great player to have around the club.
Yeah.
We've seen what he can do. We know what he's capable of. We've seen him for several years as a
He's a
footballer.
leader as well.
He's a leader, like with the young players we have now at this
Yeah,
football club.
definitely. Like Dybling.
Dybling and George,
Yeah.
two young wingers, two talented young
Yeah, I
wingers
think
by the looks of it.
they both need
They
back
both
in,
need
really,
backing,
don't
and
they?
Dybling is going to have to play more this year.
I
That's the
agree, and
reality.
I think there's a real player in that. I just think he needs a run. You
He's
know, even if, I'm not saying start every week. I'm just saying like minutes, You know
well,
what I mean?
he's going to get more game time,
Of course he is. He's going to have to.
and he's Like I think he had a, from what I saw, had a fairly decent preseason as
Yeah, he
well.
did.
Certainly
Yeah, he showed
improved.
some
Certainly
sparks
improved.
of life, you know. Yeah.
Certainly improved. George looks like, to me, we've got a absolute
Yeah,
player in
I
Tariq
think
George.
he's.
So I think, again, we're going to have to be careful with it, with putting too much expectation on him, because he's going to play a lot and he will make
He
mistakes,
will. Yeah, he's
and he
20.
will
He's 20.
give the ball away, and it will cost us things, and
Yeah.
it'll happen, and he will make the wrong decision, he'll shoot at the wrong point. We can't get on. We've got to be careful not to get on his back
Yeah.
and show his confidence up, because he's a real player. When he's on foot, when he's confident, he looks like a top young player to me.
The only
So
problem
that is a
is now
positive.
Grealish is there. Where does he play?
Well, look, I mean,
Right wing, probably.
we see, we'll see,
Or
won't
up
we? But
front.
yeah, possibly,
Yeah.
and maybe he starts on
Well,
the
he
bench.
d
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we've got a player there anyway, and I
I
think.
know, I agree. I think he's lightning. He for a young player as well, he makes a lot of good decisions, you know. So.
And then of course you've got the potential of several younger players being involved,
Yeah.
and in particular young Braden Graham,
Oh,
who
yeah.
had a ridiculous season for the under 21s last year. He's 19 with the body of a 14-year-old, but he has some serious ability on him, that boy. He is going to be a very good footballer somewhere. Whether he's going to be in the Premier League, and maybe it's too much to ask for him to come in this season, but he has got some serious ability on him, and he is already above 20 under 21 level. He should really have gone out on loan this window. We've kept him. We've opted to keep him in terms of a lack of attacking options for more reasons than not. But I think he this if he has a mo if he has a couple of moments this season. We could have we, I mean, I'm getting carried away, but he seriously has got some talent. He's there's a player there in the making, and I may be overselling it slightly, but I think from what he did last year, you see a lot of his goal footage from last year and stuff. They're not being saved by Premier League goalkeepers as well as under 21 goalkeepers. He's got ability. And he's got a knack of being in the right place at the right time as well,
Yeah.
which we don't have an awful lot of.
Do you think Moyes is gonna actually play him?
I think Moyes will have to be
Yeah, he'll
involved,
have to be on the bench at least.
and he'll probably get game time at some point,
He will,
perhaps away
hopefully.
from home, when the
Yeah.
game's a bit more stretched. But he will have to be involved at some point,
Yeah, and he might have
because
to play on the wing, really, because he, yeah.
certainly as the injuries start kicking in, and if he's available,
Christmas.
if he's an available striking option, he's certainly going to be involved at some
Yeah.
point.
So you wouldn't touch any of the free agents then.
Well, we haven't mentioned that actually, have we? I don't think so. I don't think so.
Martial,
Martial is probably,
Benzema,
well, I mean,
God,
Benzema, that's a
Icardi, I
non-starter.
think. Or something.
Benzema and Icardi are non-starters
Yeah,
because of the sheer amount of money they'd be on.
true.
Martial is perhaps more realistic in terms
Do you know the
of.
one I would consider? Sancho, and I know he's flopped at the Premier League,
Yeah.
but he's the kind of player you could see Moyes getting into, and like. You know, but then
Yeah.
he's a left winger again, isn't he? So,
Again, and he's been on,
yeah, we've got two left wingers. We don't need another
he's
left
still
winger,
what?
really.
Is he what, 26, 27
Yeah, he's
now?
only 26.
He's 26, but I mean, he's just left the contract where he was on
Yeah, he failed at Villa,
three or
didn't he?
400 grand a year, and he's not looking to be have a massive pay cut.
No.
And I
He'd
don't think
probably go
it's
back to Germany. He'd probably go
it,
back
it
to
may
Germany.
be, or he'll end up in Saudi Arabia, maybe. I think the only option would be Martial.
Yeah, he's only
And
30 still. I mean,
he's 30, he's got Premier League experience,
he'd
he's
be a
got goals.
backup, and
His injury record over the last few years is appalling though,
my
so
fear is though, is like we're one injury away from like, yeah, just disaster really in the three
well,
positions.
this is the reality of the situation we're in, and this is why we're all
That's why I'm
why the
worried.
doom and gloom is circulating, is
Exactly.
because it's quite frankly,
No, you've made a good case on some positives there, definitely.
I just think I'm in that, we've all been Everton fans for a long time, and we all know how this fan base can go into doom and gloom territory very quickly, and understandably, we've been through the mill.
Yeah.
We've been through it several times. We know the score, but it's. I just I think it almost for my own sanity sometimes, I think I have to try and look at some of the positives here
Yeah, no, I agree,
and go,
mate.
so through, what is it that the saying, through, crisis comes opportunity. There's opportunity for some of
Yeah.
these younger players in this football club. If I was the under 21 manager right now, I don't know who it is anymore. Is it? It's not Bainesy anymore. Is it someone else?
No.
But if I was the coach of the 21s right now, I'd be in Braden Graham's ear going,
You've got a chance,
keep
yeah.
this up, mate. You could be in that first team by Christmas, or you could be, coming off the bench regularly, and you're 19.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, Roll, Asnieu and Dibling were like kind of like just on the outskirts of the squad in a way, weren't they? Whereas now they're fully part of it. So that just show you that like everyone was talking about in a lot of ways that last summer's window was a bit of, questionable because a lot of the players weren't starting. But actually, if you look, you take Barry in with that as well, you've got four players there who are involved now, and they're young and they're going to be fixtures in the teams and the squad. So that shows you that often it's not always like how a player performs straight away, is it? Especially with Moyes, he takes a
Well,
while to
again, we
earn
can
his
sort,
trust, doesn't it?
yeah. Well, we can say the same thing about Merlin Rolls. We were talking about Barry before. He's come
Yeah.
to a new country.
Yeah.
He's
Exactly.
clearly a smart lad.
He
Very kind
is.
of erudite, cultured. Likes
Yeah.
his art and all kinds of other things, which is great. To have that kind of footballer in the modern game. You don't see too many of them, and that's kind of a nice thing as well. But I think he's got an ability and a really good attitude, and clearly attitude is a big plus for Moyes as well,
Yeah.
and always has been. And his attitude is, I will play anywhere. I want to play on that pitch. And he's played fullback.
Wing.
He's played wide right. He's played
Yeah.
in midfield.
Now we're turning to our Everton transfer disasters of times past.
It's fine,
Yeah, we'll
mate.
do our top three then. Why not?
Okay.
Why bloody not?
Right. Do you want to
Go
start, or shall I start?
You
I've got an
start,
old
mate.
one. Should we go chronologically?
Yeah, go on. Let's
Okay,
do
right.
our
Well,
top three.
I'll start with one from the 90s, which some of the older listeners will remember with a shudder in their heart. This was very similar to the incident with Balogun, to be honest with you. 1995, 94, 95 season. Peter Johnson is the chairman. We are looking to sign a new, slightly more experienced striker. We'd signed Amakachi. He was quite young. Sold Tony Cotti prior to that. And we'd settled on the Brazilian international striker Muller, who had a great record in Brazil but never played outside of Brazil. He wasn't first choice Brazilian international, but had always had a decent record when he played for the national team. Spurs had looked at him and decided to go with Klinsmann instead.
Yeah.
So we to I don't know if it was actually deadline day, but it was certainly towards the very end of the window. We swooped, shall we say, and he ended up coming to Goodison. We agreed a fee with his club, which I think was São Paulo. We agreed the princely sum of £10,000 a week for his
Wow.
wages, which is absolutely nothing these days, but
Chicken feed, no?
I think we'd all take that in our daily jobs, but
Oh, I'd love
this
to.
is 30 years ago. £10,000 a week agreed. He got to signing the contract. The talks were ongoing, and his representatives found out about UK tax laws with regards to non EU citizens at that time. I'm not fully aware of the implications of that would have been then, but basically the £10,000 a week that agreed was not £10,000 a week. This apparently led to a
Okay.
deadlock between Everton, Peter Johnson, and his representatives of around 7 hours, which makes
Classic.
Balogun sound a very similar thing to Balogun. And
Yeah.
eventually, the player and his representatives walked out, and he didn't sign for us. So it's pretty much the same scenario in many
Yeah,
ways.
when you've got
We
them in
haven't
the
learned
building, it's really bad, isn't it?
we haven't learned 30 years later that these things can
No.
still happen. But you know, that was that's probably the one that it reminded me of the most. I was thinking the other night, sitting there was a Brazilian striker this happened within the 90s, and I couldn't remember who it was, so I had to
Yeah.
look it up. But it definitely happened, and very similar scenario. I mean, obviously there was no medical scenario, and the fee was still agreed with, and it was the player and his representatives who pulled the plug on this one. So
God.
similar, yeah. Depressing, but
There were
true.
quite a few of them, wasn't there? The thing with
Yeah.
deadline day is like it's such a, or you know, the transfer window in general, it's
Yeah.
like it's a gamble, isn't it? You're throwing the dice, really, and
You
it's
are.
going to come off.
Yeah.
I suppose it depends how good the player is sometimes, doesn't it? You know,
Yeah.
but Kudus in 2022, I think.
Right.
Everton could have had him from Ajax, and
Yeah.
I think the deal was in the final stages, but he did a U-turn and it
Changed
collapsed.
his mind. Yeah.
Yeah, and he went on. Obviously, he's gone on to join West Ham and Spurs, and
Yeah.
he's a top player. You know, gutting really that one.
Good player, yeah.
I think Diaz is in the kind of similar area as
Yeah.
well, isn't it? There was talk of a loan for him, and then the next
Yeah.
season he went to Liverpool.
I'm not sure how far that was down the line,
Yeah.
though, that one, to be honest. I think there was a lot of paper talk on that one, but I
Yeah, it
think
was
there was certainly
Romano, and Romano isn't very.
we were linked with him. We were linked with him for a long time as well that
Yeah.
summer, I
I
remember.
suppose the classic one of that period was Danjuma. Very similar to
Oh, yeah.
Balogun in a way, where he just like the deal was all done and then he just walked out and he went to Spurs
Yeah.
to sit on a bench. Well done,
Sit on the
mate.
bench and then ended up coming to us anyway.
And he didn't do anything anyway. So that was just
Yeah.
like. But it was gutted at the time because I think Dyche had just come in. I think we'd sold Gordon, had we?
Yeah, I
It
think it
was
was that
around that
season,
time
yeah.
anyway.
Yeah.
And we were in a relegation scrap, you know. And my
Yeah.
biggest one, I'll skirt over Moutinho because that was just like, you know, endless, like, you know, dragging of, you
I
know,
completely forgot about that one.
negotiations. And
Completely
it
forgot
was
about that one.
2008. He's a
Yeah.
Portuguese midfielder.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a classic one. Never happened. Anyway, my main one that I really was gutted about, 2007. Manny Fernandez, what a player
Ah, of
he was.
course.
He
Yeah.
was on loan at us in that from January, and then
Scored that great goal against Man United at home. Yeah.
he was just so good. He was so
Good
good. He was
player.
so silky, and he scored some great goals. And yeah, we had a deal sort of arranged for him. He even came to the ground, didn't he? And then he
Yeah.
did a U-turn and went to Valencia.
Yeah.
Gutted. Gutted. That was really good because he was in the crowd, so you felt like, oh, well, he's
Yeah.
going to come, you know. He's in the stands, you know.
So I've got two very quick ones
Go
I
on then,
want to
mate.
throw in. These
Go
are the reverse. These are players we actually signed late in the transfer window,
on.
who ended up being utter dog shit. First and foremost, who can forget the Rafa Benitez era?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, obviously the financial hamstrings of that era. Us signing Solomon Rondon, I should say, on a free transfer. Late in that window, as our striking options dwindled, possibly the worst centre forward I've ever seen in an
Yeah.
Everton shirt. And I've seen Brett Angel.
God, he was awful. Yeah.
He was shot awful. I
I've
mean,
seen
he
Stuart Barlow.
was Stuart Barlow and
Yeah.
Brett Angel play up front together. I mean, that's
Yeah.
the dream
I
team right
remember
there.
that season. Yeah. I
Oh,
think
good
that's
lord.
when, yeah, I did go a few times as well. Yeah, yeah,
The other one that
yeah.
comes springs to mind, although this happened a lot earlier in the window, it was June, I believe, we actually signed him, so much earlier in the window, is the classic Per Krøldrup,
Yeah.
Danish international,
Yeah.
who
I
we
remember
signed for the
this.
best part of £6 million. For context, our record transfer fee was just above that at this
Yeah.
point, so this was quite a big signing for us
Oh, I
at
was
this point.
excited, mate. I was excited.
And you know, we needed a centre half. He was talked up as being
He
this, you
looked
know,
tall. He looked handsome.
tall,
Blonde.
good on the ground, you know, a kind of, you know, Scandinavian
Yeah,
Viking
what did they
god.
say? He couldn't head the ball, though.
Yes, basically. Leon Osman's got a great quote about it, about him. Basically, the first training session after 20 minutes, Moyes was doing heading practice with him.
Yeah.
straight away, and it was just like, this lad can't head a ball, and he's a centre
Bloody
half.
mad, isn't it? Can't
And he
head a
played.
ball.
I remember him playing a game at Villa and was getting battered, and he was woeful. And he went in January.
Yeah,
I
I do
mean,
remember that.
it was one of the worst
That is the one thing
transfers
about
in our history.
Moyes, and a bit like Ferguson,
Yeah.
he just like if a player wasn't doing it, he just got
Yeah.
rid of him, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, which makes sense in a way.
Yeah. That one was particularly bad though, because of how much we paid for him, which was a lot of money for us at that point.
Did you mention Muller as well?
Muller was the Brazilian we signed. Yeah.
Oh, that Brazilian.
Yes.
I mean, what about some of the good ones? I was thinking about it. Like,
Yeah.
probably, I don't know what year it was now. They're all blurring into one, but we got
Yeah.
a Bernard, Gomez, and Mina,
Yeah. Yeah.
all in the same sort
You
of
got to think
like
as well,
transfer deadline day.
Fellaini was
Oh, Fellaini
literally
was mad. I was.
literally that was a mad one, because I went to bed and didn't hear anything and didn't look until the morning, and we signed some guy I'd never heard of, and I was like,
It
who the
was
hell is
mad
that?
because I was on
Yeah.
Grand Old Team Forum. You know, Everton
Yeah.
forums used to exist. Well, they still exist, but you know, it
Yeah.
was more prevalent before social media.
Yeah.
And yeah, we were just like, oh, nobody's signing then. And then it was like, it got announced at like 12 o'clock that we were in working on this deal with this guy nobody'd ever heard of, you know.
And he was pretty much almost a record transfer fee, wasn't he?
Yeah,
Near
it was mad.
enough.
And he ended up being a really good player, even though he
It
ended
was
up
great
being
for
like
us. It was
a
great for us.
striker almost.
Not so much for United, but it was really good for us.
No, but I
Really suited the way we
suppose,
played at the Moyes.
yeah, he worked, didn't he? Because he was like
Yeah.
this. He ended up being like a battering ram, but he was actually deceptively good on the ground as well.
He was very good. He was a good footballer,
He
actually.
was, yeah,
I
he was
think
really
pe people
good.
don't rate him as much because he didn't work for Man United, but I think he was a talented footballer,
Some
actually.
players just
Personally.
suit certain clubs and
Yeah.
styles
Yeah.
of, you know,
Absolutely.
like it's like Richarlison as well. It's like
Yeah.
Spurs fans hate him, but I think he's a really good player, you know. I mean,
Well, look
okay,
at
it's,
Steven Pienaar went to Spurs, remember, as well, and didn't work for him
yeah.
there. And it's
The
just
thing
like,
is, though,
he
you
wasn't
get
like that kind of player. He wasn't the player that wanted to sit on the bench. And
when you go to a team who've got like a huge squad as well. It's another prop positive we're going to talk, you know, end the podcast
yeah.
with. When you go to a team who've got a huge squad, you almost get lost in it, don't you?
Yeah.
Whereas if you're a key player of a team, it's a different thing, and that's why you end up with people like Kieran Gisby-Hall coming to us because he knows he's going to be a vital player, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas at Chelsea, he's just not gonna, he's not gonna be that.
Yeah,
So
and he's a top footballer, I think. I
he
think
is.
he's been great for us. Great signing last year, and
Yeah.
hopefully, fingers crossed, he keeps fit this year and can be a
Yeah.
big part of,
Well, that's the thing. It's keeping people fit, isn't it
Well,
now?
look, this is the reality we're in, the situation we're in. There's going to be injuries, there's going to be suspensions, and it's
Yeah.
how we can manage that, and
I'm
that's going to be
positive
tough.
Moyes can do all right because he's
Yeah,
used to that kind of thing.
he
Just my
is.
fear is like
Look,
it.
you have a particularly bad 2 or 3 weeks with injuries,
Yeah, and
suspensions.
also
You're
look what
gonna
happened at the end of the
struggle.
last season. He
He'd run out of steam.
they run out of steam because he played the same players over and over again. Also, he's a bit stubborn where like even when you're losing, you'll just keep the same team going and going. And
Yeah.
I just don't think that works these days anymore because
No.
other teams will bring on five players, you know?
You've got
And
to be
that's where my
flex,
fear is
and
that.
you also have to be flexible enough to change your formation, and which he
Yeah.
does. He has, to be fair to him, he did do a couple of times last year,
Yeah, and.
but it was almost. I remember Leeds at home; they were playing wing backs,
Yeah.
three at the back. We were struggling in the first half; we couldn't live with them. And we were lucky to be, I think we were 1-0 down. We were a bit lucky
Yeah.
to be 1-0 down. It could have been three, and we matched them second half like for like, and that worked. We got back into it. But I think, he tends to match like for like. He doesn't think outside the box as much as some managers do, but that's Moyes for you.
It'll get us through probably, but
Yeah.
like you know, where it leaves the club, you know, the CEO and everything, like you said, I don't think they're long for the club really.
No.
You know, the whole thing
Well, look,
really,
we've got to
but
think our CEO is the guy who was trying to grass us to the FA anyway for Leeds.
yeah,
So
to
clearly,
him it's just a job, you know,
it's just a job. He doesn't give a shit
sadly. Yeah,
to me.
but
So, he's trying to, and I mean, he will
maybe.
say, I'm trying to do the best I can under difficult circumstances. But to me, He should never have been hired anyway. But a
Yeah, well,
different
a lot
point
of Leeds
entirely.
fans said he wasn't that great as well, you
No,
know,
it's
to be honest.
a different point entirely.
He's
But
to be fair to him, he's a good communicator, I'd say that, but
yeah.
it's false. It's based on false sort of
Yeah.
confidence. And also, it speaks to dysfunction when you're the link between the club and the ownership and the
Yeah.
manager, and it's all going wrong, you know.
Yeah.
So he ultimately, as a CEO, he has to
Well,
front
look,
to pay for that, really.
do you think then, with that in mind, that after this window and after this last week, that perhaps head should roll slightly?
Yeah.
So, are you thinking Kinnear should be the one who goes then?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I
I'm
mean,
of the opinion that something has to happen as a result of this.
I you know, some clubs, imagine this happened at like United or
Yeah.
even Spurs or Chelsea or whatever. They'd have to come out the next day and say something. Whereas
Yeah, that
Everton, what they do is
it's been
just
radio silence pretty
they
much.
put their head down. They think
Yeah.
that like the
Look, I mean, we've had a rant over this last
Yeah.
hour or so, haven't we? But I mean, it's
Try
like,
to look at the bright side a little bit.
but I think, the worst part of our fan base, and I love Everton fans.
Yeah,
I'm an
no.
Everton
Yeah.
fan for a long time myself, but the worst elements of our fan base are always on the doom and gloom spectrum.
No,
And
I agree, mate. I agree.
I try to veer away from that because ultimately I want to feel sane in my own head, but also
Yeah.
I think we've got to try and remain positive for the players on this pitch. And Saturday, I really fear Saturday will be a bear pit of discontent,
That's the thing.
and it could well count against the players on the pitch.
And
I
it's
really
like,
do.
you know, I think that, yeah, I think the Everton team and squad needs, and Moyes as well,
Yeah.
they need the Everton fans behind them. To be honest, I think the way it's gone down, I think actually they will be behind the team. I don't think they'll be happy about what's gone on, obviously. They'll be angry with the board, but I actually think they're going to be behind the team because I feel like it is back. I think a lot of stuff has been like net anti-Moyes, but now the curtain's been pulled
Yeah.
back a bit and seeing what he's having
Yeah.
to deal with, I feel like a lot of fans are just going to be behind the team and Moyes, to be honest.
Well,
So
I mean, that's what I hope. That's
I
the
hope
best
so,
case
mate. I
scenario.
hope so. Because I
But
think Everton fans
there
are
are some
like
rumours of the
some of the most brilliant
1878s
fans
plan
going
and
because they've basically been the ones who've kept the club going in dark times, you know. So ultimately, I suppose another bright side to look on it is, okay, it's bad and it's been dysfunctional and catastrophic end to the window. The last week has exposed cracks in Everton and how things need to change. But ultimately, it's not as bad as it was. And the Bashiri, the club isn't going to like implode, which it could have done. It could have gone down. It could have been an administration. I was really depressed then.
Absolutely, yeah.
Ultimately, like you said, the team on the pitch is actually quite good.
Yeah,
And
the first team went all fit. We have a chance in
the
most
problem
games, I
is
think.
depth. That probably cost us. But we can get through to January, add a few in January. I think we'll be okay. The frustration is, I feel like if we'd have got two or three quality players, more quality players, and this
Yeah.
is where the dysfunction holds you back, we'd have been fighting for Europe, you know. But maybe
Well,
another
look,
time. Maybe another time.
maybe in another lifetime, my
Yeah, maybe when
friend.
Eddie Howe comes in, we're owned by Saudis. That'll happen.
Oh, don't allow us to dream for any longer than 5 minutes.
Well, I think, you know, we'll leave it there, but
Yeah.
I think, you know, ultimately football is like the way you know, we've touched on this, but like the way things are now, it's like all you want is just a bit of competence. I don't know about you, but I don't even expect Everton to win things these days, you know. I don't even expect us to be like top six or anything like that. I just expect a bit of competence. That's all I want. And I just want a bit of progression. That's
Yeah.
all I want. Competence and progression.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, we talked about Newcastle and Villa.
Yeah.
Even when you get to that level, you're going to get picked off anyway. So you've got to be
Yeah.
competent as a start. If you're not competent and shooting yourself in the foot, then you're making it hard for yourself in the, you know, anyway to get to that level.
Yeah.
So,
Well, this is it. This is
you
it.
know,
And
that's
again,
what we need to be run well. Just
look,
be run
we can
well.
you can, we again we can go back to
Maybe one day.
Brighton, Brentford, Bournemouth.
Exactly.
how they punch above their weight with transfers, how they find these players that no one else are really looking at,
Yeah.
develop them, and sell them on for huge
Exactly.
profits.
That's
And
the only
that,
way you can progress these days as a club, where we are, even with the stadium we've got. But the stadium, like you said, is the shining light of if somebody got hold of this club and could run it properly and point in the right direction, there's a lot of that's what we need. And I think there's some strides we made, but it's going to take time still. But I'm just going to finish off with one positive. Of all the things that Angus Kinnear, might have lied about or, went back on because they've changed, financially or whatever. He did say that we're going to be like the eighth. We're going to be making the eighth amount of money out of our stadium, in the league. If somebody could get hold of this club, and sort it out, then imagine, Do you know what I mean?
Just
I know that's
any
eighth, but
just anyone who can organize a semi piss up in a brewery would be welcome at this point.
Exactly. I mean, look at the owners, like you said, Bata Carter, then Ken Wright, then Mashiri, and now the
Gosh alive.
TFG. Like TFG haven't been terrible, don't get me wrong. Like we said, the
No.
positives they've done, they've stabilized us and etc. And they moved us into a new stadium. But I
You
suppose
just don't
this
feel that we're their main priority, and that's the
No, and you
reality
don't
of it.
feel that they can one afford to or want to
And
sink.
as we were saying, they're now looking at potentially buying an NHL team.
Yeah,
I mean, that
it's not their
makes us even
priority, and
lower
also
down on the list, doesn't it, really,
I
in a
think
way?
they've realized that Premier League, it's not
Yeah.
like Italy. You can't put a sort of you can't just put stay be stable and then progressed on its own. You've got to put a lot of money in, unfortunately. That's the way it is. Or
And
both.
you're
I think it's both. I
hamstrung
think
as
you've got
well.
to be well structured from the top down and put a lot of money in. I just don't think they want to put that much money in because it is a crazy thing, So what we need is somebody who's going to think, how far can I get Everton? How far can I push them? How far can I progress them? You might risk the glass ceiling again, like we did under Moyes the first time, but at least you're like going forward. At least we're a big club. It's crazy when you think about it. We get 50,000 people there every match, and we're just hamstringing ourselves. Anyway, I think we'll survive. I think we'll be all right.
But
But,
just
sort yourselves out, Everton.
to anyone listening to this who is done with this football club and wants to shout at the top of their voice about how shambolic this has been this week. I completely agree with you, but what we love about this football club is the people involved in it, and the fan base, and the community, and what it brings to the city of Liverpool. And neither me or Bill are from Liverpool. It's probably pretty obvious by our accents, but we love this football club as well, and we want to see it as thrive as much as possible. And it's not easy, and we're going
It's
to
not.
struggle this year at points.
We are.
But I just don't want the negativity towards the board now to overtake what has started been a positive start on the pitch. I really hope
No,
that
I
doesn't,
agree.
because I think we've got a first team at least that are competitive against most teams in this league now. And I think we've got some exciting young players. We've got a bit of experience and nous in there as well. And I think we can compete with most teams on if we have most of our players fit, which is going to be the if and but this season now. But
No,
let's
I
just
agree,
get
mate.
I
I
just
agree.
hope that anyone going to the match, if you're listening to this before this match, if this is going out before this match,
Yeah,
I
it
don't
will do.
know, but
Yeah, tomorrow.
if anyone's listening to this before the kickoff on Sunday, I just hope you go in there and get in behind the team, because they're going to need it. As simple as that. They're going to
No, I
need it
agree,
because,
mate.
and they've started really well. They've started really well. And let's just get behind them and try and get as many points on the board as we can.
It's hard. Like I was saying to my uncle, he's been an Everton fan for years, since the 80s. He's the one who got me into Everton. He used to take me. I was saying to him, it's really hard sometimes. Like depressing being an Everton fan sometimes, but like you can't not invest yourself. You can't not want the team to win,
You can't switch
even
off from
though,
that. No.
like I was saying, I need to step back a bit because it's like my mental health and stuff like that. It's affecting my mental health, but and I found that during the dark times as well, but. One thing that gets me through in this club is like the specialness of the fans and the community it represents on the team. And I
And
just
we're out.
think the power that the fans have. I mean, look, Harrison Armstrong, we stopped him being sold. We kept the team up. We could definitely get behind the lads now, you know. Okay, it's a shit show above, but it's not the players' fault. It's not the manager's fault. We've got to get behind
Exactly.
them because
Well, I mean,
there's only
I just
18
hope
of them, so we've got to get behind them. Yeah, you've been listening to the F Off Everton podcast. We've been dissect catastrophic enter the window and like looking for positives in it. So with Stephen Birch. So until the next time, ta-da.
Thanks, Bill. See ya.
There
Bye.
you go.